brought to you by the Bayou Cityan. I'm one of your hosts, Jesus Acevedo Jr., and I'm joined as I am week in and week out by the one and only astrology analyst, the brainy horoscopist, the Zodiac GM.
Hey, what's going on? And welcome back, Jesus.
Welcome back. It's been a two-week layoff for us. We had to take a personal break, but we are back. And, you know, we missed a lot to happen in the NBA. So, like, a lot of trades happened, but you were on Twitter. You were making sure everybody knew how all these players fit, right?
Oh, yeah. It's been a lot of trades going on, and it's been a fun trade deadline for sure. But, I'm just curious to see how it's going to pan out after the All-Star break. So, we'll see how that goes.
Definitely. And that's what we are here for. That's why you were listening to us, to let you know how the second half of the NBA season is going to play out. But before we do that, you know, a lot of these teams, it's all about balance. You know, and look, life's a balance, Zodiac. And much like the next sign on our educational segment, Libra, that's what I know about them. They're all about balance. So what can you tell us about Libras, Zodiac?
All right, let's talk about Libras. So Libra's an air sign. They're a cardinal. So what do I mean by cardinal? So they're natural leaders. They're initiators of the air element, right? So Libras is the only sign in the whole zodiac that's not a human or an animal, right? They're a scale. What does that mean? That means they have a good understanding of finding the balance of not judging anyone else, but based on their own opinions, right? So they, you know, so they're the ones that makes great judges, you know. Stephen A. Smith, for example, he's a Libra. You know, there's some great judges out there that commentate or analyze either food or sports or anything like that. So they make good decisions that way. So they're known to be undecisive, but only because they think about everything before they make a decision, which gives them the illusion of being indecisive. Makes sense? So they're either like, okay, it could go this way or it could go that way, but which one is better? You know, it's sort of like they're trying to balance it out. So with a Libra, if they're, you know, having a really, really bad day, one day, the next day, expect them to have a really, really good day because they're going to try to find a way to balance it out, right? So they are great listeners. You know, they're very intellectual, understanding, charming, diplomatic, idealist. So those are some of the key traits of a Libra. Some of their most compatible signs are like the Leos, the Geminis, the Sagittarius, you know, Aries as well. They work very, very well with. So anything that's a fire or air mixture of any combination, they speak the same language, you know. So that's what you're getting out of the Libras.
And what are some Libra players in the NBA? I know for sure one we know is Kevin Durant, right?
Kevin Durant it is, and I think he's the one that stands out from this group. And I've noticed, even lately, I've been noticing, wow, there's not that many air dominant players right now, aside from Kevin Durant. But there will be soon, you know, but Daniel Gafford, for example, the new Dallas Maverick, he's a Libra. John Collins is a Libra. Josh Giddey, Cade Cunningham, Cam Thomas, Grayson Allen, Mike Conley, Christian Wood, Jaden McDaniels. So those are a few names that are Libra players.
Libra.
And also, just to note real quick, Libras are the ones, they're good for a team. Reason is because they're sort of like that leader in communication. That is the one that stands out and it's always talking on the floor. They're the one that sets the tone verbally, you know. From what I've heard, someone like Caruso from the Bulls, he's the Pisces, but he does have a Libra moon. And from what I've heard and read, he's the type of person that actually will get on people verbally and kind of lead them to whatever they're going through, plays on defense or offense, whatever it is. That's what kind of you're getting off of that Libra energy as well.
Libras. Yeah, I've had good connections with Libras whenever they've crossed our paths. And I think it's just because we're both there, right? We're all about the communication. All about the communication. Right. You know who couldn't communicate as well this season? Zodiac was who? Jack Vaughn, former Brooklyn Nets head coach. I say former because he was just let go, fire, relieve of his duties, whatever you want to call it. And here's how funny life works, Zodiac. So Jack Vaughn got a contract extension at last season's All-Star break. A year later, he's been fired, with his last game being a 50-point loss. So the difference of 1 year. Last year, the team believes in you. They're like, we're giving you a contract extension. 1 year from that point, you know what? We don't believe in you anymore. You are fired. And look, he was there about, what, three and so odd years, three and a half? He was 71-68 during the regular season and 0-8 in the playoffs. So I know we haven't talked a lot about the Nets, but remind us, what was Jack Vaughn signing and how did he mesh with the team that he currently had?
So Vaughn is an Aquarius, right? So the thing with the Aquarius, okay, so I'm just trying to analyze the roster right offhand, okay? So the thing with the Nets, they have a good strong core of players that are water or earth elements, right? That's Johnson, Cam Johnson, he's a Pisces. Mikal Bridges is a Virgo. Finney Smith is a Taurus. Ben Simmons is a Cancer. And newly acquired point guard Schroeder is a Virgo. Now, that core alone is strong amongst themselves, right? The difference is there's an offset and balance from your main head coach, right? And that's Jacques Vaughn. I mean, that's Vaughn, right? And he's an Aquarius. He's an air element, okay? Now, there's not too many other signs that really get that's sort of like a strong core piece that's compatible to Jacques Vaughn. And what I'm looking for is that anyone that's, you know, I think the strongest piece that's compatible to him would actually be Cam Thomas, yeah, which is a good thing, right? Cam Thomas and also Nick Claxton. So Cam Thomas is a Libra and Claxton is an Aries. So they are compatible to Jacques Vaughn. But what about Johnson? What about Bridges? What about Finney Smith? What about Sims?
Right, right. Okay.
They speak a different language. So whenever I talk about these elements this way, it's all about speaking the same language. As long as you understand, as long as you have this, you speak the same language, you're in the same field, right? What I mean by that is air. You have air and fire speak the same language. They're very compatible. Earth and water speak the same language. They're very compatible, right? So right off the bat, there's an imbalance of understanding each other. Okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they won't get along. It's just that they don't really understand each other's energy or views right off the bat. So what that means is that it might take them a little bit longer to kind of get it, right? Whereas someone like Cam Thomas understands his views. They understand the way Vaughn thinks and they get it right away. You know, it's sort of like that sort of instant connection. So that's where the off balance is. It's the positional players also, as well as their energy imbalance with the roster, kind of gives them that C+ rating for Vaughn. And you can tell it wasn't working out well for him.
Now, let me tell you, the assistant coach that will be stepping up, because he has to, right? Because Brooklyn has needed a coach, is Kevin Ollie. Kevin Ollie is a Capricorn. Does that fit better with the team as currently rostered? And do you see that now maybe because of that, now that the synergy, which is, you know, based on your reaction, sounds like it's going to be a positive one. Could you see this team taking a turn? And is it because his sign fits with the roster now?
Yes. Synergy-wise, it's an improvement. You still got to look at talent and all these other aspects, of course, right? It doesn't just because you have good synergy doesn't mean they're going to win all the games. But looking at it a bigger picture, yes, it is an upgrade because he is a Capricorn. He is a cardinal sign of earth element. He benefits energies such as Ben Simmons, Finney Smith, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, which is a strong core of that team. And that's a big plus. It's going to be a it won't benefit Cam Thomas as much, but it's okay because they can actually use him to their advantage. Meaning I can see Cam Thomas really becoming like a strong off the bench six man type of player, which will benefit this team a lot. Now, Nick Claxton, he is an Aries, but he plays a center position, but he's sort of like that limited. He's not too heavily on the offense, but sort of like he does his part well enough, which is okay. So they can utilize maybe like a, what I call a 4-1 lineup, maybe having Simmons start at the point, Mikal Bridges, Finney Smith, Cam Johnson, and then have Nick Claxton at the five. And you can, yeah, that's a strong synergy right there alone. And then have Cam Thomas kind of come off the bench. And, you know, you can have some sort of rotation flow that way that could benefit lineups throughout the game. So So yeah, the synergy wise going to be improvement, and you can probably get a sense of that, especially also Schroeder coming off the bench. He's a Virgo. He has that mutable adaptability type of energy that he can kind of blend in well with different rotation or different lineups within games. So that's also another plus. And you know, he's a veteran as well, so that's also another increase in synergy too, because the player that had before didn't really fit as well. Dinwiddie. Right. You know, yeah, Dinwiddie was an Aries, and he doesn't fit well only because of those core energies I mentioned with the Simmons, Finney Smith, Bridges, and Cam Johnson. You know, when you have all those energies on one side, and then you're the point guard trying to, like, you know, it's kind of offsetting. It's like you're not on the same page. All these energies want to play a little bit different, but you're an Aries. You want a little bit more. You want to be fast paced. You know, and then it kind of throws off everything else. And that's kind of why I feel like Schroeder replacing Vaughn, Dinwiddie is a big plus for them. So, yeah, I see there's an improvement there big time for the Nets.
Now, here's the thing. They're 21-33 in the 11th seed currently. They're looking up at the Atlanta Hawks, who are 24-31. If this synergy somehow gets them some wins in a row, they could easily get the 10-9 seed because, look, 21-33, 24-31. Chicago Bulls are 26-29. You know, things could happen. I mean, there's talent on this Brooklyn Nets team, you know, and it's just them deciding whether they want to go for it and try and make something of the rest of the season, or they're going to just tank. But even if they tank, it doesn't benefit them because that pick goes to the Houston Rockets. So exactly. So that's why it's in their best interest. It's in their best interest to compete at least and get into the play-in. But you know who is competing really hard this season, and I've had to ask myself a question, and I'm sorry, Minnesota Timberwolves fans, but I just have to ask if the Timberwolves are for real. That is my question. And look, I'm happy for Minnesota Timberwolves fans because they've had to suffer a lot, right? They haven't had as many, you know, great teams here. You know, I think the last great team they had was Kevin Garnett and Stephen Marbury and Sam Cassell. Not Stephen Marbury. I'm blacking out on the guy they traded for Stephen Marbury, Terrell Davis, he's a football player. But there was a
Terrell Brandon, maybe.
There you go. Terrell Brandon is what I was talking about. Terrell Brandon. Getting my sports mixed up, but Terrell Brandon and Sam Cassell and, you know, Latrell Sprewell. So I'm happy for them. And look, they're 39-16 heading into the All-Star break. That was the record. Heading into the All-Star break, they have four straight road wins, including the Bucks and Clippers beating them over 20 points. The Bucks and Clippers. And this is from NBA.com. And you know me. So that you know me. We play basketball a lot of time. You know me. I love defense. I love playing defense. I get mad when people don't play defense. This is why I love the Wolves. They have allowed 2.1 fewer points per 100 possessions than any other team. The fourth biggest differential between the top rank and second rank defense in the 2018 season for which the NBA has done play-by-play data. That just tells me that this team is locked in defensively on that end. They know the roles. They're looking out for each other. So my question to you is, what is it in their astrology synergy that has allowed them to really, like, put it together, especially on the defensive end? Because I think on the defensive end, if a team is communicating, if a team is in sync, that defense would just be tight. I think even more than the offense, but that's me. But so what can you tell us about their synergy?
So their identity really is defense, and you've called it. I mean, Rudy Gobert and Towns. Wow. I mean, they're holding it down over there in Minnesota, and they're doing a very, very good job about it. So the way when I analyze synergy is that there's always, I try to see what I like to call the standard deviation of each position and how good they are compared to the rest of the league, right? So there's a baseline of talent in the NBA. If you're in the NBA, you're there for a reason, right? So the thing with the Wolves, they have a dominant defensive center, which is a big plus alone. And not too many teams have that. The Wolves have it. And I would like to consider a team like the OKC Thunder have it as well, which, you know, they have Chet Holmgren there holding it down, right? So that's a big, big factor because that alone is a huge strength, right? Synergy-wise, I wouldn't say they have the best synergy, but they have enough just to be a top team in the NBA. What I mean by that is they have two groups that I look at that's very, very strong in this group, and that's as a potential of being elite and even better going deep into the playoffs if everything goes right. They need health, and everything else has to fall in place, right? So it starts with the head coach, right? So the head coach, Finch, he's a Scorpio. Who is he compatible with? He is very compatible with Rudy Gobert. He is a Cancer. Mm. When you have that fixed cardinal energy, especially water element, that's a strong connection right there. Who else is in that water element group? Towns. He's a Scorpio, right? But if you look at the rest of the roster and you analyze some of their lineup changes throughout the season or throughout the games, right? I noticed Finch utilizes a lot of these big man lineups. So if either Gobert or Towns sits down, who they put in along with one or the other, Reed. So what is Reed's sign? Virgo. Why is that important? Because he's also compatible to either Gobert, Towns, and so forth. And look what the other two bench players that they utilize a lot. Kyle Anderson, guess what his sign is? Virgo. And guess who else they use a lot? Alexander Walker. Guess what his sign is? Also a Virgo. I mean, you can't make this up. That's a strong, strong bench unit to substitute with compatible energies already in the mix. Now, the two that sticks out that are not compatible to them, but are just enough to make everything complete, Edwards and Conley alone. Mm. Those two are very, very compatible. You have a Leo-Libra connection there. Notice how ever since they got Conley in exchange for Russell, as Russell was a Pisces, his opposite energy of Edwards, you notice how they turned it around, right? Mm-hmm. Because that connection with Conley being Libra is very, very strong to Edwards. And that's a big, big help for Edwards alone and his growth too for the future.
Wow. It's crazy because another thing I like about, you know, that they have so many Virgos come off the bench, you know, as you told us many times, Virgos are mutuals. So they're going to fit in where they need to fit. They're not going to go in there and ruffle feathers, right? So they're going in there. They know their role, and the machine, the cog, just keeps on turning for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And look, I think they have a great chance to lock in this number one seed in the Western Conference because they have 17 of their 27 games the rest of the way are at Target Center. Their first seven games over the first 11 days once the season resumes are at home. So the schedule is there for Minnesota to nab this number one seed. And yeah, I think we have to answer and say that the Timberwolves are for real. So, but one other team I want to ask you about, and this is one of the topics that you wanted to talk about. And it's interesting because, you know, you saw this as soon as the trade was made. That's Charlotte Hornets. They made a couple of deals, you know, during the trade deadline, before the trade deadline, mind you. One of the biggest, I would say, is Grant Williams. And look, Charlotte Hornets, why are we talking about them, right? They're 13-41. You know, they're not. Look, we talk about all teams because we're talking about the synergy, right? But look, before the All-Star break, they won three in a row. And it was just not that they won three in a row. It's how they won those three games. And I think Grant Williams' addition has just shaken up that roster. It's almost like they're remaking the culture of the team and the franchise. What can you tell us about Grant Williams' addition and how he now fits, and also what exited the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah. So Grant Williams, he's a Sagittarius. He's a fire energy. They're very positive, outgoing. So there was some little bit turmoil going on with him being in Dallas because, have you noticed, Kyrie was injured for a while, and then that's actually Grant Williams' strong connection. Grant Williams and Kyrie Irving, Kyrie is an Aries, so that fire-to-fire connection is very strong. But ever since Kyrie got injured, notice how Grant Williams was in the starting lineup and kind of fell out of it since there were, you know, of course, Luka had to do his thing and Luka being a Pisces, which is opposite of Grant Williams. Notice who they were inserting in replace of him, either Dante Exum or, you know, I think they had Jones as well. And then all these other players that try to mix in, basically try to find the right combination because Kidd was realizing, hey, something's not working, you know. And Grant just kind of fell out of the rotation, kind of just fell out of the whole culture, the whole synergy of that team, mainly because of the injury, the way I see it, what happened to Kyrie Irving. And then with Luka running that, it kind of just fell out of place. Now, Charlotte Hornets, okay? I've been up on Charlotte Hornets since last year because they have a strong potential. They have strong pieces that can actually break out of being a good team, right? But they signed PJ Washington in the offseason, right? And that, and I remember this in particular. As soon as they signed him, I said, no, that's not a good move. But I can understand, you know, financially, whatever, you know, you want to keep some of your assets and you can actually trade. In this case, it's exactly what happened. So I can understand that as well. But in synergy wise, I was like, nah, it's not a good fit because PJ Washington is a Virgo. Now, the thing with the roster, they're full of fire signs. Okay, they have LaMelo, he's a Leo. Brandon Miller's a Sagittarius. Bridges is an Aries. Mark Williams is a Sagittarius. Smith Jr. is an Aries. All those signs are all fire signs. Okay, now who else was there? Previously was Rozier. He's a Pisces. Okay, yeah, he's opposite. Okay, so now you have Rozier who's playing big minutes, and you have PJ Washington playing big minutes. Even they were both starting, even right. And also the coach is a Virgo as well. So those three individuals in particular had big influence within their team, which threw off the balance of their synergy, right? And of course, this is where they're at right now. They're not one of the best teams because I felt like that's kind of what happened. And look, it took them that whole first half to realize something's not working.
So
guess who went out? PJ Washington is out, but they brought in Grant Williams, a strong energy, perfect fit for this roster. And guess who else went out before that was Rozier to Miami. And guess who else they let go was Book Knight, who's also a Virgo. Because they see the thing. Because Virgo, I mean, nothing wrong with Virgo, but I'm saying Book Knight didn't fit that roster. I mean, he's a good player, and he's a value player that teams could pick up. But he just didn't fit this. His energy doesn't fit with the rest of the roster, you know, and I could just get a sense of him being uncomfortable, not being himself, you know. And sure enough, I mean, he's out the door because the front office is like, man, it's not working out to that, and they start pointing fingers, right? But in reality, it's like, man, poor kid, he just doesn't fit in, you know what I'm saying? So you got to see a whole bunch of, you got to understand an individual player. Book Knight's a good player, but you know, he's out the door, and all the energies that was a thorn, quote unquote, not, I shouldn't say thorn, that wasn't compatible to this team are now out the door. They have a stronger core now. If LaMelo gets back to health, I mean, hey, this team's going to be good, you know? I mean, they're still young.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question. How does that all work, but they have a Virgo head coach in Steve Clifford? Is it his sun sign that will help in this case?
So with Clifford, I mean, honestly, if he wants to keep his job, he's got to find a way to make it happen because
he's got to become that mutual.
he's got to find that because they're mutable signs. Virgo's a mutable sign, right? They're flexible, they're adaptable, but he really has to make it happen. Which I feel like he can. But he has to get it first. He has to realize, hey, this is a team that's full of fire signs. They're more dynamic. You have to think a little bit different because Virgos, they're more analytical, more detailed. They're a little bit slower pace, and they like to be more efficient in a lot of things, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of like their nature in general. But if you're trying to implement that sort of, you know, DNA into a roster full of fire signs, it just doesn't bode well. And that's kind of where there's a conflict, a roadblock. All these players just want to, you know, they want to run and gun. They want to do this and want to do that because their energies are built that way. And Clifford has to recognize that. He has to let these players play, you know. But that's just the way I see it. But hopefully he can make it happen. But his energy doesn't fit. But he has enough experience. But then you can also see he's an old school coach. Maybe he want to stick to whatever he believes in or whatever. But you know, we'll see how it happens. So far, so good. I mean, they've been 3-0, you know, in the last three games, and we'll see how it goes.
Here's what I'll say. I'm gonna make a bold prediction, I guess, right? If the Charlotte Hornets don't make improvements in this second half of the season, as far as our playoffs are completely out the question, but improvements as far as team play and, you know, maturity and, you know, play on the court, vice versa. Mm-hmm. I think Steve Clifford will be fired this offseason, and they bring a younger coach, and they do exactly what you say. They you know, let him loose a little bit more. You know, let him somebody that fits. You know, maybe they'll give a call to Zodiac. Who do we need to hire? You know,
you know who's perfect for them, they've actually already attempted to get him. Was, oh my God,
Kenny Atkinson.
Kenny Atkinson. Yep. Oh my God. Yep. He is perfect for this roster. Gemini with an Aries moon. Man.
Oh, my God. That'd
he
be
is
perfect.
The right coach. He is the right coach for this roster. But I know with a lot of the Hornets, you know, fans out there, they don't like that, you know, because they felt like he kind of dipped on them. He's like, hey, I'll accept this offer. But then last minute, he's gone. You know, he went back to the Warriors or whatever. But man, he's a perfect fit. I mean, he truly is. But yeah, we'll see what happens. The season goes on and see if Clifford can change this team around and see how it goes.
Here's another bold prediction. I don't know. I feel like making predictions today on our first episode after 2 weeks. I think if they fire Steve Clifford, I think they will try and hire Kenny Atkinson one more time because they liked him. They liked him for a reason.
They really
liked
did.
What he brought. But here's another prediction I'm going to make. Mm-hmm. If Steve Kerr, I have no sources, so people listening to this, it's just me throwing into the wind, all right? Steve Kerr may step down after this season and they give the job to Kenny Atkinson, and I think he still fits. He still
that's a good
fits
one.
Synergy with that team, right? Tell me I'm wrong. Doesn't he fit synergy
that's a
with
good
that
one.
Team? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, synergy, well, yeah, it could fit as well. But yeah, those are bold predictions. Yeah.
Very bold predictions. You know what's not a bold prediction? As we get into our last topic, Caitlin Clark of Iowa, of the women's basketball team, she is a hooper. She's a baller, whatever term you want to use. So that she can just flat out play. You know, she recently broke the NCAA women's all-time scoring record. So we're going to talk about her because this is hoopstrology. You know, we're not just going to always talk about the NBA. We're going to throw in some college basketball in there here and there. March Madness is coming up. So I know a lot of you people like to make your brackets or this and that. We're going to try and talk about that. Not all teams. That's a lot of teams for Zodiac GM to analyze. He does have a job, you know. So, so we're talking about Caitlin Clark. You know, and look, she broke the NCAA women's all-time scoring record. And here's what I like about Caitlin Clark is that after high school, she could have gone to a powerhouse. You know, she could have gone to a UConn, one of these other, you know, South Carolina. She could have gone, but she's like, you know what? I'm going to decide to stay home. I'm going to make my state university a powerhouse, and that's what she did. You know, she led them to the championship final last year. That was her first Final Four since 1993. Last year was her first Final Four since 1993, but it was their first ever final. Their first ever final. And I know that Caitlin Clark is an Aquarius, so here's what I want you to tell me about how that has fueled her. You know, because this is one of the from an SI.com article about, you know, her choosing to go to Iowa before she started her collegiate career. She said, I have goals for a Final Four. You know, like so that's the mentality she had. And then here's something else. When she was in elementary school, she was the only girl on the all-boys team, and she was the best player. So
no way.
Tell us now. You know, well, I'm saying she was the best player, you know, whatever it was that she tore it up. So I'm taking that to mean that she was the best player, right?
Nice.
But okay. So what can you tell us about, you know, Caitlin Clark's sign and astrological chart that you may have seen and what that's led her to for her to become the player that she is? I mean, she's a powerhouse. I mean, people are paying thousands of tickets to go see her play, and she's putting on a show.
So Caitlin Clark, she's an Aquarius, okay, and she has that Taurus moon, right? So the reason why I mentioned Taurus moon is because Taurus in general, what you're getting out of that is consistency, right? Dependability, right? Also stubborn. So if you filter that through Aquarian nature, you know, it's an air sign, right? So, and they're very stubborn as well. So you're getting yourself a very determined individual that whatever she sets her mind on an ideal level, which you just mentioned, hey, I want to make the Final Four or whatever her goals were, she's gonna go ahead and try and her best to make that happen, right? So you're getting a very determined individual with her combination with an Aquarius sun and a Taurus moon, right? So just a quick example, Klay Thompson, okay? Klay Thompson is also an Aquarius, but with a Leo moon. But Leo's also a fixed sign like a Taurus. So double fixed, okay? So Aquarius is a fixed sign, Taurus is a fixed sign, and so is a Leo fixed sign. So, and as you can tell with the way Klay Thompson is, he's been dependable. I mean, he shot, 43% for his career, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And he's been consistent, and he's Well, lately, not so much, but you could tell he has that drive, that determination of wanting to be back to that consistency. Because
I mean, usually, first game coming off the bench, he did what, 35 points, I think, was
35. So. Because he wants to get back in his mind. This he doesn't belong in the bench. That's his mentality, right? And that's kind of what Caitlin brings, that type of mentality. Mm. She wants to be the best, and she's gonna be there. And then if she falls out of it, she's going to find her way back to it, you know, and they're going to work really, really hard to get to that level. And you see that with Klay Thompson, but also other Aquarians out there, but for different moons, possibly with Hakeem Olajuwon, Michael Jordan. Mm. I mean, you know, Vince Carter. These are the type Aquarians, the type of signs you kind of have to give them that freedom, right? Give them that freedom because they do have a rebellious side to them. You don't want to constrict them too much, you know. You want to let them do their thing. If they're good at it, just give them that freedom, because if you tell them to do something, or you tell them, hey, I want you to do this, do that, you know what, they're going to do something opposite of what you're telling, because that's just their nature, you know. But that's what makes them, you know. So yeah, that's a very interesting thing with Caitlin Clark. You know, she has an Aquarius sun with the Taurus moon. She's double fixed, and look what she's doing now. So yeah.
What can you tell us about her coach and maybe how that relationship? But even then, when you have a player like Caitlin Clark, I mean, do you have to do a lot of coaching, right? It's like, here you go, here's the ball.
Yeah, well, it feeds off of her energy, first of all, because Lisa was it Bluter?
I want to say Bluter, yeah.
Well, yeah. Lisa, she's an Aries. So that's a big plus right off the bat alone, because an Aries is a cardinal sign, right? And what is a strong connection with an Aries? It's a sign that's of compatible element, that's a fixed sign, you know, the way I see it. And guess what Caitlin Clark is? It's an fixed sign. So compatible elements, compatible, you know, with the cardinal fixed connection, because in general, cardinal signs, they're sort of like the spark, right? Aries sort of like the spark. They're the one that initiates ideas. They're the movers, right? So, but what they're bad at, they're not good at stability.
But, and that's, you know, what Caitlin Clark brings.
That's what Caitlin Clark brings, is that stability. So that's the reason why they connect well, because of that. And in retrospect, Caitlin Clark is not good at initiating. And what does she need? She needs someone to bring that spark. And that's what Lisa brings. And that's sort of reason why they have a good connection that way. So yeah, that's a strong connection. And then whenever you have your head coach like that, and you know, your best player has a strong connection with them, good things tend to happen that way.
Good things tend to happen, just like they happened on our 13th episode of Hoopstrology. Soda GM, always happy to talk to you. Any final words on our 13th episode?
Follow us on Twitter X at the Zodiac GM and Hoopstrology.
And follow me, Jesus_Acevedo Jr., and follow the Bayou Cedian. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.